Hello, welcome to Strange Love of Movies. My name is Olivia Martinez, and I'm here with my two co-hosts, Oscar and Emily Martinez, and today we will be spoiling Tenet for you guys. So hopefully you've seen the movie on the big screen. If you haven't, go listen to our spoiler-free episode. We did that just for y'all because we care for you, and we want you to see this Christopher Nolan spectacle on the big screen. So, shall we get into the film?
Yeah, we want to do our part to bring you back to the movies, and this is a great movie to do it with. It's an action-packed film, but a thinking man's action film.
Ooh, a thinking man.
A thinking man.
Yeah, that's what Christopher Nolan... It still baffles me how his movies are so popular, because watching this, I was like, all of America is going to see this film.
Yeah, thinking man as an Einstein or Isaac Newton or somebody like that, they'd understand it.
Yeah, they would understand it. Not many others will.
Well, I think almost all of Christopher Nolan's films make you think hard and try to figure out the plot. They're always complicated, but this one certainly tops them all.
My favorite thing is it said, Tenet makes the Inception script look like the script for the Power Rangers movie. Because
I like that. That's
the
good.
Confusion that we felt... But it was really good. We recommend it, of course. And even though it's confusing, and we're going to get into that, I think that it was a really good and well-made movie. But I just don't understand like how that comes from someone's brain. How did he think of that?
Yeah, well, take the beginning.
Yeah, should we start with
the beginning? Because it is written and directed by Nolan.
Yeah, or should we start with the end? No, let's start with the beginning, which might be the end, right? Let's take it from the beginning. The movie starts with a very, almost like a tried and true action sequence where something is happening, you know, there's a symphony about to start, and within 2 minutes, 2 or 3 minutes,
30 seconds
of the film, these people with automatic weapons show up. They're obviously, or you think, they're terrorists. And then it switches to the scene of people waiting outside, almost as if they knew something was about to happen. Mm-hmm. So that tips you off that this is not your ordinary action film.
Yeah, it was already a weird scenario. And also, why were those people passed out?
Because they had put some gas in there to make them pass out.
Pass out the brilliant, yeah.
Yeah, but then the people waiting in the vans outside, it's almost as if they were anticipating. And then when they ran in there, they were looking for someone and something. Very specific. Mm-hmm. You know, they knew what was going to happen, but that was a side thing. They were looking for... a person or something that this person had.
They weren't on a mission to kill anyone.
No, they're on a mission to retrieve something, yes, for sure.
So then, during that whole fiasco, John David Washington, who is the lead character, and he is known as the protagonist, they never give a name to this character, which I think is... Well, obviously, it's intentional. And I think it was cool, but...
I think it kind of makes sense because you never really know who he is.
Mm-hmm.
You're not sure of what time it is at certain points in the movie and what is about to happen and what just happened. Also, I think you're never quite sure his role in this whole Tenet organization.
Exactly. That's a good point. So, yeah, if we refer to him as the protagonist... That's all we can refer to him. So Strangelove has done their homework, and we know the character's name, and it's the protagonist. So the protagonist, in the first 2 minutes of the movie, he's one of the people searching for the something or someone, and he gets knocked out cold, and he ends up in this weird rail yard or something, and he's getting beaten up by, is it Ukrainian or Russian? I was confused. They're in the Ukraine.
Right. It takes place in Kiev.
They're all over the place
Ukraine, but I'm not sure.
Okay, he's getting beat up by these like really tough foreign guys. And
are they satyrs people? Did they work for the villain or did they work
for
Tenet?
Who is the villain?
That's what's a little. That's what. Well, that was my complaint about this film. Is even though on our previous podcast, I really suggested everybody read up a little bit on this so they could follow the plot. Mm-hmm. Still, we came away from it with some questions about whether or not we totally understood it.
Yeah, I think Tyler got it the most out of all three of us or four of us.
Tyler's like the fourth or fifth Beatle in this Strange Love of Movies. It's a little bit funny. They took his teeth out.
Yeah.
Remember that?
That was gross.
And you're thinking, why? Why did they do that in the first 5 minutes of the film?
Why?
I was asking you.
Oh, well, maybe it's because, you know, in all the classic... I mean, it's not like I have any experience, but, you know, in Skyfall and all that, I remember they have cyanide in the back of their teeth, so maybe they were trying to find that.
Oh, yes, actually.
And then, but that, speaking of that, there is a suicide pill that he decides to take instead of revealing any more information to these bad guys. And so he takes it and we're like, oh, great, the protagonist, he's dead. Great. But he wakes up and apparently it was a fake pill and it was a test. And he passed the test.
Wait, do you think that whole thing was a test? I mean, those bad guys were really bad guys, but they were there to test him to see whether he'd take that pill.
And see, I don't know if that's why...
Wait, yeah,
see,
maybe.
That's why I'm unclear whether or not those are really bad guys.
Yeah, I don't know who...
Or whether they're actually Tenet part of Tenet.
They could be. Organization. Because, yeah, Tenet, have we explained that? It's an organization. That's all we can explain.
Wait, I thought it was the CIA at the beginning.
Well, the CIA is at the beginning. You're right.
Yeah.
So the protagonist wakes up. The CIA briefs him about very not helpful stuff. They're like, okay, dude, you're going to do all these things for us, and we're not explaining anything to you. But it kind of comes as he does more and more stuff. And I think he ends up in India.
Yes, India.
With Robert Pattinson.
Yes.
And his character's name is Neil. We like Neil. Neil's probably our favorite character because he's the only one who has, like, much of a personality in this movie. Because every Christopher Nolan movie has a few comedic elements. This one wasn't the funniest film, but Neil was the light part of the movie.
Yeah, that reminded me a little bit of the James Bond films where there's always that other agent that he deals with that is kind of suave. Not as kind cool as he is, but...
Yeah, kind of a sci-fi James Bond movie. Yeah
that, except way more complicated. Anyway, he meets Neil in India, and they have to do all the stuff that... Should we even get into it? You guys have seen the movie. Y'all know. And he ends up talking to this woman who's an arms dealer. I liked how they made the woman, the wife, the arms dealer. I was like, yes.
You thought it was going to be the
women be controlling everything now. But she was bad, right? Or was she?
Yeah, I think she was. I mean, she was the main arms dealer in India, right?
Yeah.
But then at the end...
Oh, the
doesn't
end.
It end up...
Well, he kills her.
Shh.
Well, they've seen it.
He kills her at the end, I think, to protect Kat.
Who is
the wife of the villain.
Yes, and Kat is played by Elizabeth Debicki, and she is the 6'1 woman.
6'3.
Oh, wait. Is she actually? She may be 6'3.
Yeah,
she's very tall. She makes all the other guys in this look... Very short. Very short. But she's in this movie. Honestly, all of us agree that we didn't need as much of her. And if we did get as much of her, we wanted more plot, like character development. Because I didn't care about her. And I didn't care about her son. Did you care about her son?
Nope. Well, I guess that was the only... They were really the only characters. Or she was really the only character who showed emotion, I think.
And had anything to die for. Something to live for.
Right.
All the other ones could have died any second. It didn't really matter.
That's a good point. The others were willing to die for something, but she was willing to live for something.
Oh, snap.
It's pretty good, isn't it?
And it's true. But yeah, she was married to this terrible man. The worst. And he was played by who?
Kenneth Branagh.
Yeah.
He's a well-known English actor.
He was evil in this movie. I don't even want to get into all the art stuff.
Well, I think that the main point of the movie, I think, was to try to get people to follow along with the idea that time is hard to comprehend.
Mm-hmm.
In this movie, at least, you can't really trust whether you're seeing the future or the past. And that kind of, you come away from the film kind of thinking, well, okay, what are we experiencing right now? It kind of opens up bigger questions of reality and what we really experience and how we experience it.
Philosophical, kind of.
Well, they didn't actually say this, it is what it is, but they did say, what's happened has happened.
And I love that.
Only it hasn't happened. And one of the interesting things is they kept saying, not just what he's going to do, when he's going to do it. Because this idea of simultaneous... Not parallel universes. I mean, for gosh sakes, they have a phone that can talk from the future to the past and all this other stuff.
Absolutely insane.
I can't even get signals from my own home, you know. but the other thing on there is in seeing that scene where he goes initially, early on when they're explaining this idea of entropy, things working in reverse, where he's shooting an empty gun at a target range. And yet the bullet fires because the bullet's actually coming back into the gun.
Oh, beautiful.
Those are kind of the coolest scenes.
Yeah, she actually, the scientist there, it's almost in a weird way, it's a little bit of the rewrite because she's explaining everything because she says...
I was about to say,
because she says, oh, we don't know how that works because we haven't invented it yet.
Insane.
Right?
That was good. That gave me chills.
Yeah.
I was about to say, this movie is heavy on the rewrites.
Yes.
And I would have asked for even more rewrites because still.
And that was, I guess that was something I noticed is I think that even though other people who've seen this movie have commented on how confusing it is, and it is, it did seem like the filmmakers were trying to explain things. There were scenes, long scenes actually, of I guess exposition, yes, that's the word. But, where, like, especially the arms dealer, the Russian arms dealer is speaking on the phone, explaining things, remember?
Problem is, I couldn't understand a word
he said. I know, that's the problem, because sound was an issue. In some theaters, sound is an issue, and dialogue is hard to understand. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, in other words, it almost looked like they went back and tried to kind of catch people up and kind of explain to them what was going on, but I'm not sure it always worked.
Yeah, and I'm curious if that, I mean, I think it was a good movie, but is that a good movie if they're just trying to explain it to you the whole time? Like, yeah, we want to, but it's a hard
thing. I mean, it was a good movie, and it's certainly worth seeing, and it is the kind of movie you want to see in the theater.
Oh, man.
But it's certainly not Christopher Nolan's best, in my opinion. I don't think, because it was a whole lot of action and a whole lot of plot, but I think this was so plot heavy that you almost couldn't appreciate what you were seeing as you were seeing it. Agreed. You were trying to keep up with the plot, mm-hmm, instead of kind of absorbing what was being told.
I think my favorite part of the movie, this isn't my favorite scene, but I think my favorite part was just when they were doing all that stuff with the art, because I actually understood what they were doing, because it was very Mission Impossible and it was very explained what was going to happen. After that, I got very confused, and I agree. When you're watching the action, you're thinking, wait, why are they doing this? Are they in the future? Who are they fighting? Because I have no idea who they were fighting at some points.
Well, another quote that jumped out at me was, ignorance is our ammunition.
Ooh.
That was a really good one, right?
Because who said that?
Several times. Several different people said that. And then he repeated it to Neil said it, the protagonist said it, Elizabeth Debicki said it. I can't remember her name.
I think it's very, or Kat.
Kat, yeah. She said it. And it's one of those things where, think about it, if you don't know something, sometimes you get confidence out of it.
Oh, yeah, Mom and I were just talking about that. We wish we were less self-aware.
Yeah.
Right. And the hero in this had a pretty significant task. He was trying to save the world.
Yeah, basically. What was it? He said, what was it, like a nuclear holocaust?
It would have.
And then the scientist goes worse.
Right. Well, the idea, yeah, because the idea was not just to wipe out the current world, but to wipe out the past world.
Which, how does that even work? Only in a Christopher Nolan movie. So, what were you guys' favorite scenes?
I like the part where that plane that crashes through that terminal.
Which was a real plane.
Yeah, it was a real plane, and the fact that it's real, and you know that looking at it, and it looked like a real plane going over real cars, and it was action-packed, and just the action in that scene, because the fight scene seems stilted, and obviously intentionally, because one of the characters was from the past, the other one was from the future.
And there was a character who was fighting himself.
Yeah, pretty much.
Which, I guessed that from the beginning, didn't y'all?
I thought so, because there were two people there, yeah, and there were two people fighting them, exactly, and it was the same two people, or the same four people.
But speaking on that plane scene, all I could imagine, because I knew it was a real plane, and I knew that was quite the endeavor. I was just thinking about that day on set and how stressed out everyone probably was, because you have one chance to make this look good. You know, there were just like a billion cameramen. Everyone was running around. Christopher Nolan with his British accent is like just commanding people to do stuff. But it looked great. But also, like, that was so unnecessary. But I don't think Chris Nolan would want that in his movie.
Yes, it looked very real because it was.
I wonder how they found a plane. Like, I don't understand. So, Mom, what was your favorite scene?
I think I most enjoyed a scene toward the end that features the main female character, Kat, who is the wife of the villain and is the person who the protagonist seems to care about the most. As he's saving the world, he's also trying to save her life. Mm-hmm. And at one point, she observes a woman diving off a yacht.
And she just assumes, past her, assumes that he's having an affair and it's just a woman diving.
I believe so. But as it turns out, she sees that it's she herself is diving off the yacht and watching.
She was watching herself dive, which was, yeah, that it was chill-inducing, because at the beginning she tells the protagonist, I wanted so desperately to be that woman who dived off, just to have that freedom from him. And she ends up, it's, yeah, future her. She has the freedom from her awful husband.
That was pretty awesome, yeah. Another part I like, Michael Caine. He was in it, yeah.
Is he in every Christopher Nolan movie?
He's in a few of them.
He was in Inception.
Was he in the Dunkirk?
He wasn't in Dunkirk, I don't think.
But he was Inception, Interstellar.
Oh, yes.
Batman.
Oh, in the Batman movie.
He wasn't in Interstellar.
Yeah, he was.
Who was he?
He was Anne Hathaway's dad. I bet you $500,000.
Oh, you're right. Yes, he was the... okay. Yes.
Do you owe me $500,000?
No, we didn't check on it.
How do they know? They can't see us. Oh, wait, looking at it, Michael Caine actually was also in Dunkirk. It was a tiny cameo. That's crazy. I wonder how him and Christopher Nolan have such a bond. Like, 40-year age difference, but okay. My favorite scene, I think, was the end when Robert Pattinson's character... Again, it was a lot of rewrite, which, by the way, do they know what rewrite means? Dad, would you like to explain?
Yeah, it's when a movie is a little... doesn't either make sense or is a little too complicated that they intentionally at the end, toward the end of the filming, they actually create a new scene where they actually explain, oh, this is why this person did that, or this is why we're doing this, just in case you missed it.
And it's been a running joke for as long as I can remember.
Forever, yeah. It came from an article many years ago that I read, and yep, here comes the rewrite.
Yeah, people, y'all always just turn and go, rewrite time.
Yeah, the people in Hollywood, it's an industry term, apparently. Maybe it isn't anymore, but it was 20 years ago, and it's just something that...
I'm just thinking, imagine the producers watching this the first time, thinking, what is this? We gave you $225 million, and what are you talking about? So, yeah, they probably made him rewrite a few things. Actually, no, Nolan's such a good filmmaker, I'm sure that all of this was before.
Yeah, I think so. And also, the thing about Tenet, it's the same spelled forwards and backwards, which is known as a palindrome.
Oh, very that makes sense.
Insightful,
that's
right?
That's so cool. Yeah. Okay, so back to my favorite scene real quick. When, Robert Pattinson, Neil, is talking to the protagonist, and he says, oh, that was, I literally get chills, and, I was tearing up, because he said, you hired me, and it's the end of their friendship for Neil, but the beginning of the friendship for the protagonist, and that is just insane, because Neil ends up, it's so sweet, he sacrifices himself for the protagonist, so it's the end of his life, and the beginning of the protagonist, it's just so complicated, to think that future protagonist hired Neil, and
that's the thing. The protagonist had to go through all of this to realize who he needed to hire to go back and do all of this.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, it's very weird. I don't know who thinks of that. Yeah, that's very, very, very odd.
Yeah, and I don't even think we should get into all the Russian evil man stuff, like the plutonium and all that. You guys should look that up because it's fascinating, but it's a lot.
Well, I think one of the interesting parts, too, has to do with the Russian arms dealer gets his start as a little boy paid to dig up remnants of maybe nuclear weapons that were stored in his hometown. And he comes across part of this algorithm that is then pieced together or could be pieced together to ultimately destroy the world.
Yeah, so he was kind of destined to be this evil man. Yes. Because he had all this power.
Well, and also the thing about Christopher Nolan films, most of his movies have one word titles, Memento, Dunkirk, Inception, Interstellar. And so
that doesn't sound like most of them. It sounds like all of them.
Well, pretty much
except
all of them.
Batman movies.
Speaking of
connection real fast, true. Robert Pattinson, yes, is in this movie. He's going to be the new Batman, which we're excited for.
If you haven't seen the trailer, check it out.
Ooh, it looks cool.
It's really good. But it also, it's more than just the name of the movie. It's a concept. A tenet is a principle, a belief and faith in something, Same thing with all the other ones as well. There's several definitions for the word.
Mm-hmm.
Just like this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just like he puts a lot of thought into the plot, he also puts a lot of thought into the actual title.
Of course, and that's such an iconic, easy title. You can just say it and everyone knows it. So, should we talk about the box office? Because it's going to be kind of messy because of this movie being released during the time of COVID. I think it was released overseas a week or two ago. Mm-hmm. And it has made $53 million, which the budget was $225 million, so there's still some slack to pick up on. But I think that, his movies always make the money back.
And it's just now being released in the United States, and I don't know if it's been released in China. I know
that's always a big market.
That really makes up a lot of the box office.
And I really hope that this movie makes a lot of money because we need more filmmakers like Christopher Nolan. We always say that. He's so inventive. He's the only director in Hollywood who gets a budget besides all these Marvel movies. And it's just, we need creators.
He makes you think.
Yes.
This wasn't my favorite movie of his. And I think that it was a little convoluted. Probably could have could have been more enjoyable if it was a little less confusing. But on the other hand, I'd much rather be challenged and be talking about it and thinking about it and looking up secrets that we missed afterward than just walk out of the theater and never think about it again. Mm-hmm. I much prefer this kind of movie.
Yeah, would you guys rank this in the top 5 Christopher Nolan movies? Probably.
Yes, I think so. Because he hasn't made
that many. Yeah, I think so. For the type of concept he's going for, I mean, it's not just a past or present or future. It's all of the above. And you got to give credit for original stories like that.
Brilliant, yeah.
Well, and the other thing, too, you know, I wondered, when they were looking at their watches, shouldn't the watches be going backwards? They weren't.
We haven't even talked about that. What happens when they go backwards?
Yeah, that was weird.
That was insane.
Because there were specific areas of the world. Oslo was one of them. The other one was in the Ukraine, where they actually had devices. Time-traveling portals, I guess, right?
Yes, portals.
Yeah, I didn't get that until toward the end. So I was like, oh, that's what they're doing.
I thought you were going to say until you looked it up.
Yeah.
No. But, yeah, the portals kind of took them back. And there were so many rules for when they were inversed. Fire was cold.
Yeah, and then the oxygen. I didn't get that. They're all wearing masks, and I expected to see Tom Hardy behind one of them because you couldn't tell who they were or what they were saying.
I know Tom Hardy always wears masks in his movies.
Yep, but I think that's a smart movie trick right there, because when you see the mask, you're like, okay, that person's in the future coming back to the past, you know? And the reason that they have to wear those masks is because what they're breathing is CO2 instead of oxygen. Which is just so
instead of what people normally breathe in,
they're breathing in the opposite. Yeah, so they need those masks. Remember, he sets the protagonist on fire and he gets hypothermia from it. And Pattinson's character says, I think you're the first person to ever get hypothermia from a car fire.
Yeah, and I think that's the point, right? Is this idea that they are that entropy, this idea that it could be a gun, you put a bullet in the gun, there's no bullet in the gun, you shoot it and it shoots because it's coming back into the gun. Somehow there's a way, something was invented in the future that everyone's going to be like that. And when that meets, I'm putting my hands together as if something is meeting, the immovable object meets the unstoppable force, something's got to give, and basically it's the end of the world. And not just this world, every world that's ever existed on this planet, right?
So, yeah, that's kind of a cool way to explain it, now that I think about it.
I don't know if it's right, but that's how I feel right now.
And the main villain of this movie is Kat's husband, the Russian guy. We've mentioned him a few times. And he's so selfish. He literally wants to end the world because he's dying of cancer.
And
he wants to end the entire world just because of his one life. He doesn't want to give anyone else the chance to be happy either.
Just like he doesn't want his wife to be with anybody.
Anyone else.
She won't be with him, and so he doesn't want her to be with anybody else.
So he holds this blackmail art kind of thingy over her head the whole time.
Maybe they should have started a podcast and bonded.
Yeah, they probably could have bonded. Actually, this has led to some tension. No, I'm just kidding.
They could talk about the future in the past.
So, John David Washington, the protagonist, Denzel Washington's son, wild stuff. And we were thinking, is he going to be as good as his dad? And what did you think, Mama?
I thought he was good. I mean, he did a good job. I don't really think that his character had a lot of development. Mm-hmm. I mean, he really was just trying to figure out what was going on the whole time and just reacting. He obviously had skills and was able to get done what needed to get done, but a lot of times he was in the dark.
Yeah, I mean, he was a good actor, but yeah, I don't know if there was that much to work with, honestly, in this. And again, we think it was a really good script and imaginative, of course, but I think just this character, he didn't have much to do, so we didn't really see his full acting ability. I think the best acting in it was, what, Robert Pattinson?
I think so.
Just because he was so, like, charismatic.
And Kat, the actress who played Kat.
The tall girl.
I thought she came across as sensitive. I mean, you understood as a mother why she was doing what she was doing. So she was pretty, not so much likable as somebody that you could empathize with.
Yeah, I really think we didn't need that much Kat in the movie. I think that the editor could have cut a little Kat. Or they could have added some more stuff that made us care about her. Because she was just kind of there, and we were thinking, why does the protagonist like her so much?
True.
The thing about the protagonist, though, he was always in control, and it seemed like even if he didn't know what was going on, that was part of his mission, was to figure out the what. Remember, that was said early on, that he was supposed to figure out the what, and he did. I mean, by the end of it, and he very deliberately did that, and so I think part of it was the role. I mean, he had to be this part action figure, but at the same time, thinking man's, you know, kind of quantum mechanics and all that kind of stuff. Because Pattinson was one. Neil was didn't have a degree in physics. He was able to explain it. He understood all that stuff.
Smart guy.
And he knows more than you think he does, actually, which is kind of interesting at first.
Yeah, you thought Neil was going to be bad.
I thought he was bad, yeah. And he wasn't, I guess.
No, he wasn't. He was actually a good guy.
Yeah.
But yeah, that would have been even another twist. Because at the end of this movie, I mean, are there four twists? How many twists are there? It's insane.
Multiple. It's just another good twist involves a backpack that we see at the beginning, and we notice that it has a red tag on it.
Then
at the end, it's revealed that it's Neil's backpack. And so that kind of tells you about what had happened at the beginning and how Neil was there at the beginning to rescue the protagonist.
From the beginning, he was there watching over him. You're right.
Yeah.
I definitely did notice that backpack at the beginning. I was like, okay, that's going to mean something because it's a Christopher Nolan movie.
So to summarize, not one of Christopher Nolan's best films, but certainly from the creativity standpoint, he's still thinking, not just outside the box, he's thinking outside the planet because it's nobody else would try to tackle something
outside the time-space continuum. Mm.
Yes, nice. Yeah, temporal space, a temporal pincer, or whatever those movements they were talking about. It will blow your mind.
Yeah, the only theory I got in this movie was the grandfather theory, which was basically you can't kill your grandpa because you wouldn't be there if your grandpa wasn't there. And I think that was kind of how this movie was. Like, whatever happens is going to happen, and you can't change that.
Yeah, and they go into some detail that the people behind this didn't believe in that. In other words, you could go back and not just destroy the earth.
Yeah, okay, that's
it. Destroy the people who were part of the earth to save it.
Yeah, I think that was part of it. I think the people who were behind the mission that the protagonist was on had the idea that you could or should go back and destroy the ancestors in order to prevent them from doing what led to
the destruction of the earth
in the future.
You worded that quite well. I could never put that into words because that's exactly what it was. I think there are going to be a lot of theories in this movie. So everything we say could be totally wrong or it could be totally right. It's up for interpretation. Christopher Nolan will never explain it, of course. I distinctly remember when I was tiny, when Inception came out, I was like 8 or 9 or whatever. And I told Mom, I was like, I just want him at a press conference to say whether the top thingy fell or not. I was like so sad because I knew he would never do that. And that was kind of my introduction to Christopher Nolan breaking our hearts and not explaining anything.
Yes, forgive us if we actually mislead you and are telling you something during this podcast that you later find out is completely wrong.
That's why
you should see it, so you can form your own opinions and theories.
Also, when you go see this at the movies, little trick, put the popcorn underneath the mask and you can just munch through it throughout the entire film.
Yeah, but you guys need to stay safe while watching this movie, of course. Practice social distancing, wear your masks, but see it in the theater.
Yeah, please. And it was a good return to the film. We missed the movies, and we know you do too. That's why you listen, and that's why we love you.
And choose a time to see it, maybe other than a Saturday night at 8 o'clock.
Yeah,
try to see
nervous.
It maybe a matinee or another night of the week, because that way you avoid the crowds, and yet you still can enjoy the flick.
And if the mall is closed, like say when you get out of the movie and you have to walk around and there's nobody around.
That was so weird.
That was weird,
wasn't it? We felt like we were in Tenet. We were the only people in the entire mall, and it was weirdly dim, and I was uncomfortable.
Didn't love it, but good movie, right?
Yes.
I think I'll love it more the next time I see it, because I could see loving this movie, but it's just hard the first time when we can't understand half the things they're saying, because Strangelove is reliant on subtitles, and it's just a lot happening. But
there's
so
much happening on the screen. That's a good, real good point.
I really do want to watch it again. Knowing me, I'll probably see it in theaters again.
And actually, I think I'm looking forward to seeing it again at home for the second time, just so we can have the closed caption. And I think that'll help me understand it a little bit better, too.
Yeah.
If Final word of advice, you have a great future in the past, so listen to some of our previous podcasts about Christopher Nolan and other things as well. And follow us at Strange Love of Movies Pod on Instagram.
Yep, and that'll be linked down below. And that was good advice, Dad. What did you say?
You have a great future in the past.
Ooh, good stuff to end it on. And just for fun, you guys could also listen to this podcast in reverse and pull a Tenet. Bye.